Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Then God said, the writer of Genesis tells us, don't be fooled by the brevity or the familiarity of these three words. For when God speaks, it is a mighty thing to behold. When the heavens are torn open by God's voice, what was once nothing is now something, because for God to speak is for God to do. There is no choice, no decision, no arguing, nor any other thing to challenge His word. That writer of the first book in the Bible strains with all his might to tell us about God's almighty word. Language is at its limit as the writer describes the nothingness, the chaos, the lifelessness that is until God speaks. A formless void that is dark and treacherous is how he describes God not speaking. Oh, but when God opens his mouth, everything changes. Just ask the darkness. Let there be light, God said. And did the darkness argue? Did the darkness ask to think about it for a few minutes? Did the darkness make a decision to accept God's word? Did the darkness reject God's word? No. The darkness had no choice but to give way to the light created by God's word. So you and I would do very well to hear the word spoken by God at the River Jordan that day. We hear again that John the Baptizer was in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Translation, real dirt between the toes, sinners were being saved. Their only hope in the midst of the formless chaos created by sin and death and the devil was the promised word of the Savior given to Abraham. The promised one who was to come, the one who would take sin, conquer death, and silence the devil, that one was the reason they were in the river with the hands of a wild man holding them under the water as he screamed the promise of the coming Savior. God was repenting sinners, that is, leaving them no choice, because the only way they would be saved was by this coming Savior. And God was forgiving them, not symbolically, but literally forgiving them. Why? For the sake of this coming Savior. But suddenly, like a clap of thunder out of the blue, there he was, from the hick town of Nazareth of all places. But that wasn't the only surprise. Far from standing on the shoreline yelling instruction and encouragement louder than Nick Saban at the Rose Bowl, Jesus was in the water. Not only was he in the water, he was being baptized by John. Why? For the forgiveness of sins, that's why. Do you hear what this means? The sinless Savior is now numbered among sinners. And just listen to what the Father, whose wrath and judgment burns hot against sinners, says of his now sinful Son bobbing around with all the rest of the rebels. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased, is what we hear. Jesus is taking the sins of the world. Indeed, he's becoming the only sinner. In fact, he's becoming sin itself, the consequence we call Good Friday. And with this, the Father is well pleased. That word, dear friends, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, whom God made to be sin, so that in Christ we become the righteousness of God. That is the word that tears open the heavens and destroys the formless chaos created by sin and death and the devil. There is no arguing with this word either. There is no choice or decision to be made. Because remember, for God to speak is for God to do. And so that leaves just one thing left. And that's to give you this word from God. And God said, Jesus Christ has taken your sin, conquered your death, and silenced the evil one's accusations against you. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven without condition, and your life is now eternal. With you, beloved, God is well pleased, and all because of Jesus Christ. Amen.